Adam, how are you tonight?
Fantastic, Jack. How about you?
Good, good. You know, these podcasts are a lot of fun to make. Make them better in the daytime when the sun is shining and when the moon is trying to sneak up behind clouds.
That's
I'm a
right.
guy who likes, I like my naps once in a while anyway.
A good power nap once in a while is a wonderful thing. I agree.
Yeah, it does. It picks you up. It picks you up in ways that you don't even realize until you can't sleep at night. So
that's part of the picking you up, huh? And it's waking you up and keeping you up.
That's right.
Those are good.
So anyway, so we've been talking to a lot of clients and in situations where people are looking at their company's expenses. Things like office supplies and rent, if they're renting out, which most don't own their property. If they do, they're renting it from themselves or another company that they own. But expenses. And one line item that is always there, like a big flashing light with gargoyles on it and anything else that's negative. Gargoyles are negative, aren't they? Or they're just ugly.
What's I think about purpose? wasn't that a brand of glasses of sunglasses gargoyles? I think from the 1980s. That's what I'm thinking
I'm,
about. Jack.
I'm talking way back. These little structures on buildings to guard evil from coming in.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm not much an architecture guy. I kind of understand back to the medieval times.
I think it had more religious beliefs than it did agricultural belief. But in any event. They were there to guard against the evil in the world, the evil that'll penetrate your facility.
All right. So what kind of evils penetrate the PL? What are you seeing?
I see those flashing red lights with gargoyles on them. It's usually I can bet pretty well, absolutely sure that it's going to be insurance that they're talking about.
Evil. One of those necessary evils almost in today's day and age. One of Jack's favorite topics, folks. If you haven't heard about that yet here on the air, you've certainly heard if you met us in person, if it comes up. If you want to get Jack all excited in a not-so-good way, you bring up this topic of insurance. And so, wait, you're saying you only see one line? You're lucky if it's only one line item on there, Jack, unless it's all bunched together, right?
Well, there's a ton of insurance with subcategories. You know that.
Right.
So what do we do? How did that get there? How did that get there in such a big way? And why is insurance, if you start to analyze it, so evil? It sucks money out of organizations. And for example, you know, you have car insurance. Where did that come from? Safe driving. Suppose not safe driving. I'll get to that in a minute. But you have car insurance. So let's pick one. Pick any big insurance company, be it Nationwide, Nationwide. They have Nationwide.
Nationwide is on your side.
That's right.
All these good jingles make you feel good, warm and fuzzy inside.
That's what they try to do.
Right.
Get you to sign up. And once you're signed up, they forget all about you, right?
Right.
Just give you that annual premium. Well, a couple of things. The way they got that way was that the lobbyists, here we are political again, but the lobbyists were hired to basically mandate that everyone had to have insurance if they're driving a car. Now, why? Who does that benefit? How does that benefit you? Are we the insurance company spokesman going to talk about how they're doing it to protect you and make your life better? I don't think so. So I think they hired.
Well, that may be how it started. Usually, it starts with an emotional thing like that. Somebody got screwed over somewhere. I'm gonna protect you, Jack. Because if you hit me and you don't have insurance and you've ruined my car, what am I supposed to do? Right?
You're supposed to suffer. That's like you do for other things, like you do with insurance. Let's talk about insurance premiums, for example.
Okay.
Now we've been in how many months now in this pandemic?
Pandemic. It's like going 8 months now. Yeah, going on 8 months. We're in November now, so it's going on 8 months now, Jack.
Now, Nationwide, unsolicited, sent me a $50 check for goodwill and safe driving, and hey, we're going to make it the pandemic a little easier for you.
$50 and you spent how many tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of them over the years, right? Here's $50 for you, Jack.
$50. And well, the insurance companies, you think they're hurting? They've laid people off, reducing costs. And they basically have probably, I was reading a statistic here in the last couple of weeks, where they have probably upwards almost 50% less accidents that they have to pay out on because people are driving less.
Right.
Accidents are fewer and far between. They're still there, but basically they aren't as prevalent. So what do you think? $50 is a pretty good allocation of the savings that they've realized because of the reduced...
Well, I don't know. Maybe,
I looked at my last premium, and then where's my agent? I don't have in fact, he's on my hit list to talk to. Basically, the agent that signed me up, he sold his business to his kid. His kid, this is how long I've been with Nationwide. His kid sold the business to another guy. And the guy misspelled my name when he sent me the, hey, I'm the new guy here. He's never called, never contacted me, never did anything. And that's the business we're in.
Right.
And every year our premiums go up. If they do go down, it's going to be $50 on, you know, a pretty substantial bill. If we're a company and all the various forms of insurance that are paid, there should be pretty nice rebates, especially with auto insurance, which I'm focusing on.
Okay.
There's just less physical activity. But going back to my point before, the lobbyists are hired to let legislators basically in on how they can benefit their campaigns by helping the insurance companies get laws passed, such as mandating that everyone driving a car has to have insurance.
Do you remember when it got mandated? I mean, do you remember when that happened? Okay.
No.
All right. Because it's always been, you know, I've only been driving for 30 years. I know it's always been mandated since I started driving. But yeah, I don't know how it came into being.
Well, the law was passed somewhere right. When I wasn't really interested in how laws are passed. You know, you get them passed, that's how they get passed. Something is, you're doing something today that's illegal, whatever that may be. So you don't do it. So you get a lobbyist. And you basically get enough momentum where you pass a law that now makes whatever you're doing illegal, which it is illegal. Now it's legal the next day. How does that happen? How does legality enter into legislation? And there's so many laws on the books. I could understand if laws were only pretty much passed like 95% when there's a catastrophe, but they aren't. They're passed every day, it seems.
Way too many, right.
Yeah. So lobbyists and insurance being unaware of, what this has prompted me to do now is to have my insurance agent on the hit list, asking him what he does for me. He hasn't exercised good customer care. He hasn't called me, talked to me, and misspelled my name.
He's trying to make sure he stands out, Jack. Wait, that's a strategy. Help make sure you stand out by misspelling names. People notice that, right? It's like when you have that pen that pen that you're writing with that runs out of ink. You're like, who gave me this stupid pen? You throw it aside, right?
The last thing you see about that company.
That's right.
Well, why shouldn't this guy be open and receptive to introducing me to his clients? Now, if someone else were to ask him that and he thought of me as one of his clients, he'd find it hard to approach me because he hasn't done anything for me.
He doesn't even know you, Jack. Come back to
I agree.
No, I can trust. He doesn't even know you. Here's a name on a piece of paper. A misspelled name.
Probably mad that I was rebated $50.
Right, which is what, like one-twentieth of your annual bill, right? Yeah, okay.
More than that or less than that or whatever,
right.
You know?
Right.
But so that's one thing that insurance companies do that bother me. They're out for the money. If you do have a need, typically, they maximize the recovery to the insurance companies, they being agents, you know, the way the system works now, basically, and it's changing. But basically, they're going to find a way to minimize the payout to you or to settle this whole particular issue. Now, why is that? Well, I understand that. That's a profit motive, right?
Sure.
And insurance companies generally have obscene profits. I'm talking like a socialist now, where it's insurance companies are a concern. And then, yeah, we're talking liability, we're talking car insurance right now. They're out of control, as far as I'm concerned. Every year, do you think you'll get your premium reduced this year because of the less exposure that was
happening? I'm a tough case since I have a 17-year-old who's had a few accidents, Jack. So our rates, you know, they may have gone, they don't go up as much as they should have, maybe. How about that? And in terms of what we saw or what we see. but no, yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, we got some sort of credit back in May, perhaps, right? Mm-hmm. And there's been nothing since. Nothing since. There's been no talk of anything since. They've been quiet since then.
Yeah, right? They're very quiet.
Laying low, right? They're laying low. They're making snow angels on their piles of cash that they're raking in, right? Is that what they're doing?
That's right. See, now that's an obscene profit. Well, I shouldn't say that because I haven't studied it that much. All I know is I'm irritated every time I get a long legalese notice of changes in coverage and stuff that, you know, is usually at least about 8 or 10 pages. And
yeah, because you know they're trying to find another way to screw you, right? They're trying to find another way.
That's right.
This came up a lot earlier in the pandemic, Jack. There was a lot of discussions about, you know, having to close down the business, everything else. People were trying to file insurance. And the insurance companies were saying, no, this, you know, the fact that you're forced to close is, you know, that's not covered as part of your policy. You know, a pandemic is not covered as part of your policy. Now, every policy that has been written since probably mid-March or mid-April now has that, you know, it's carved out. We aren't touching it. If the pandemic happens, hey, forget about it, right? All bets are off, right? So what does the insurance protect you against? Is that where you're going with this in terms of why, you know?
It becomes very costly. So why is that? I mean, why should their profits be so significant to cover losses, right? Paying out losses to the claims. So basically, if their claims are being reduced, there should be continual rebates coming through and or less price increases on the premiums. So it doesn't seem that way.
So do they add any value? Is that your question? Do they add value? So let's say you get in a car wreck or somebody hits your car, right? First thing you got to do is call an insurance company, right?
That's right.
Well, what would you do if you didn't have the insurance company to call? What would you do?
Well, there'd be other people. My insurance, the tow company.
Yeah, call a tow
the
truck
repair
company.
Yeah, exactly. I have to take care of it. I have to take care of my car.
Right. So I think one of the biggest values that they probably bring and try to sell, I think that's the idea of giving that warm and fuzzy, Jack, right? You know, Nationwide's on your side, or in good hands with Allstate, or State
sure,
Farm is on your side, right?
Yeah,
whatever
very
it might be,
or
your good neighbor, right? Yeah. Or they want to get that warm fuzzy. Hey, you got a problem, Jack? I'm the one you call, right? I'll take care of all your problems, right?
See, I'd like to just cover catastrophic insurance. Just, you know, be covered for that, not the little dings and don'ts, and even somebody hit me from behind. I'd call that catastrophic. Generally, that in today's world, that's generally going to be a total loss anyway.
Sure.
So I'd have to pay that. God knows I'd have to pay that. So what? I wouldn't like it because everyone's underwriting my basic catastrophe.
Right, and it happens so infrequently for the most part too, right?
Yeah. So anyway, that's one little reason that I don't like insurance companies. They increase their rates. They don't have good customer relations unless you're a Fortune 100 company. They basically try to squeeze you for every penny they get. They're geared that way. And they serve a purpose that's been protected by government, but basically through the lobbying effort, not because of the real need. And it's a great market. It's a great market for them. And they're tapping that market with a strong motive of profit and cash flow only. Very little customer service and make you feel good. Like I say, this agent who's handling the book of business now that was started decades ago hasn't called me, misspelled my name, and, you know, offers nothing other. I don't know what he offers, quite frankly. even when I did get in an accident about a year ago or so, I never heard from him. He's got an assistant that she called me and took some basic information, and that was it. He never called and said, "Hey, are you okay? I see you're in an accident." You know, nothing like that. So he's going to hear all this, even though it's aged a little bit. And it's a good time to go shopping insurance, since I have to have it anyway, right?
Shopping. Well, yeah, but you're talking about just the one. You got, you know, the auto piece. If you look at it, there's all kinds of insurances out there, right? I mean, you kind of go through, you got everything from, you know, liability insurance to a business standpoint, right? You got, you know, your property too, you know, and besides vehicles, you have your property insurance, you have errors and omissions insurance, you got, and you can get insurance about anything, can't you? Flood insurance.
Sure you can.
You can probably buy insurance from some of your other vendors too on stuff, right? They'll insure their products, right? That's one of the ways that they increase your profits, Jack, is you sell some insurance on stuff that you know it's not gonna be used or not gonna break, and hey, it's padding your profit margins, right?
What do you think? Do you think profit should be reduced with insurance companies? And who would do that? It's always tough to have price controls. But
yeah, I'm a big fan of competition, right? And I think some of what we start to see now, if you're talking about more of the consumer stuff, it's with the auto piece. So there's different levels of coverage you can get, right? There's the mandated level, and then there's add-ons to that, right? And so you have, you know, different liability insurance versus collision insurance type stuff, right? So part of it is I think most people have a very negative feel for it, right? It's not a positive thing when somebody brings this topic up. So most of us don't want to necessarily deal with it. So I think one of the things I found to be helpful is to try to find a good broker, right? Somebody who's not just a Nationwide or a State Farm or an Allstate person, right? Somebody that can actually, first of all, knows what you really need, or, you know, what makes sense to be, you know, hey, so you're not overcovered, let's say. But to go out and shop all the time, right? If you're going to shop based on pricing, these, you know, if there's good competition, people are going to be competitive for it. And, you know, you see a lot of new companies that come out there, and they'll offer different things, and they're going after, you know, different types of markets where, hey, I get you the least coverage for the least amount of money, right? Just enough to keep you on the road, versus the platinum package over here, right? If you sneeze and you dirty your windows, you know, we'll cover that too, right? Yeah, I mean, you have all kinds of different stuff that's available to it. But from a regulation standpoint versus competition standpoint, I think if there's good competition out there, okay, well, hey, you know, as long as there's not collusion going on, I think that's where you need the regulations, Jack, to make sure that they're actually making sure they aren't keeping prices falsely high. Right?
No, you don't think so, huh?
Well, they might be right now, but there's going to be a big push again.
And somebody's going to come in and stay the lower price and continue to be in that position? Or will they do that for ease of entry, basically? Come in for a year or two at low prices, get customers, then move it up from there.
Well, they're hoping
once you become a customer with an insurance company, right,
keep on cranking up. Yeah, you see that with all kinds of stuff, Jack. You see that with the cell phones, right? Or
you
cable
you
company, right? We're offering a great new rate to the new cable company, you know, for the new subscriber. But if somebody's been with you for 20 years, we're going to keep on jacking your price up, so you're paying three times what the new guy's paying, right? So your best customers, your longest paying customers, we would define as your best customers, right, are getting the worst treatment. They're totally forgotten about. So, but they can't just leave. Well, they could, but they have to go somewhere else. And it comes back to the pain of leaving.
You don't have loyalty. You have inconvenience at a higher level to save a few $100. So people say, screw it, I'm not going to change. They don't say it like that, but they just don't act on it.
Right.
But I'm going to act on it this year, kind of as a consumer, because I don't like insurance. I got to get a couple of hits in to make me feel good.
Well, I think it depends on, you know, your experience with it too. Again, so many people don't ever use it, right? So you almost kind of just like, hey, you know, it is what it is. But if you have a chance to actually use it, like you said, you got in an accident and you were horribly disappointed with their service. Usually that's enough to kind of push somebody away to go somewhere else. You know, I've had good experience with our company. We're with Safeco right now. And they've been, you know, again, like I said, I got a teenage son, and he's had a couple of things. My wife, you know, will get into accidents, you know, every so often. It's part of her routine. So we tend to use the insurance in terms of getting stuff kind of fixed up, but they've always been very responsive and very good with stuff that we've had with them so far. So I'll base it based on that in terms of the ease of being able to start to use it. And one of the fears I always have, Jack, is that, you know, you do all stuff with the insurance and then it comes time to actually claim it. And they go, oh, no, you know, oh, sorry, nope, yeah, nope, nope, can't do that, nope, can't do that.
That's what I was saying. They have aggressive claims agents that don't let you, you know, really smoothly get reimbursed and feel good about it.
Right.
You know, you got to pay a big deductible if you have that or whatever it is. And that, you know, it's annoying. I mean, it's, if we didn't have it, we'd have a situation where we'd have to adapt. There are other things that are comfortable and nice to have that we're paying for that you probably don't need. Not in the way it's formed right now.
No, but, well, I think that, you know, there's that book and movie, the John Grisham book and movie, the Rainmaker with Matt Damon. Do you ever see that? It's probably 20 years ago, late 90s, early 2000s, where you played a young lawyer and they go up against the insurance company and he has a claimant, you know, where the kid dies, right? And they're going against the insurance company.
I don't think I did.
So basically, he takes on the insurance company. The whole movie is he takes on the insurance company. It's him as just this little guy, right? And he goes against a big insurance company with their team of lawyers, right? As you can picture that kind of scene. But as he starts to peel back the onion in terms of what's going on, they see that the policies are always say, no, 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 no. Like, again, it's as soon as somebody calls you, doesn't matter what they say, your first answer is no. And then the next answer is no. It's like it's constantly no, 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 because they know that after the second, third, fourth no, eventually people just start to go away, right? So just saying no in and of itself is increasing their profits, right? So he uncovers all this stuff and it winds up that they win this big judgment, right? And what do you think the insurance company does after that judgment, Jack?
I don't know.
They file for bankruptcy.
Oh, that big of adjustment. No, I didn't see the movie.
There's a huge, big, and so
sure, they'll
he's all upset about it, but the mother says, hey, I'm not getting any money. Again, that money ain't bringing my boy back. But you took down this big insurance company. Holy, again, so she was all excited about it. Say, you did great, right? Again, we didn't get the money, but you took them out. All right. So it makes you feel good, but then you know all those people are going to be going somewhere else then, right? To some other insurance company. And okay, so yeah, you have to keep an eye on them because, again, it's, you know, there's that temptation there. There's good profits and it's hard for people then, you know, so they should they be giving back their profits? Should we cap their profitability or should we get in that business, Jack? And again, as I'm listening to you describe the business, except for the poor customer service or the poor customer relationship part, everything else sounded pretty darn good, you know? Hey, just kind of keep sending the bills. You keep sending me the money. I don't, you know, okay, I just.
Well, I have to. I have no choice.
Right, but so I'm saying, so it sounds like it could be a good business. So to me, that's why, you know, you
great
see a
business.
Lot of.
If it, wait, a great business if it wasn't so regulated. part of those regulations keep guys like us out. You have to have so much of a requirement. You have to have blah, blah, blah. So many as typical legalese would be.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's in charge of all that stuff? Well, you look at some of these things. Like, again, you mentioned
the insurance commission, a political organization.
Well, but like your guy for Nationwide, he was able to sell his thing. Like different units, like State Farm, that. I mean, again, you can't take your stuff. And it belongs to them or farmers or all these guys. The people belong to them. So even you as the as the agent, right? I mean, you're really nothing than just, you know, you're, I don't know, somebody's passing,
I don't know what you
passing
are.
Things along, right? Yeah, okay, but it's, but people can want to get into it to a certain extent, that standpoint, because they say it's something that everybody needs. So we haven't talked about all the other stuff, you know, there's all kinds of insurances, Jack, obviously, you know, business or personal. I mean, you have life insurance stuff that comes up too, right? Or disability insurance, right? So as I'm saying, usually the reason why the insurance pop, you know, pops out on the financial statements, Jack, usually there's a lot of lines of insurance, right? We haven't even touched on health insurance yet. I don't want to go there.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah, I agree.
But in terms of some of these other insurances, yeah, in terms of, hey, it's something you have to pay. It's one of those, again, it's a necessary evil to a certain extent, but it's one of those things you want to pay a lot of attention to. And if nothing else, it does feel good, Jack, even if it's only $50 or $100. If you're saving or getting that back, it feels good getting it back from, doesn't it? It feels good, you know, being able to pay less to those folks.
No. In fact, you know what I think I'm going to do? This isn't a promise yet.
Okay.
But I think I should chronicle on a podcast my events of trying to reduce my Nationwide insurance premium. As a consumer, we're talking business, but small businesses are almost like consumers in the sense that, you know, it's a small value thing. The big guns aren't put out at us. It's just try to take a guy who's clipping coupons, you know, he's in effect clipping coupons.
Right.
He's buying practices that he has no effort in developing himself. And he certainly isn't, you know, chasing after me. And I have to be representative of his clients, probably a better one than most. And he's doing nothing except doing what he's doing. He had 100 clients, 200 clients. I don't know. But whatever my premium is, that could be the starting point. And from there, let's see how much I can get it reduced and why.
Okay.
And chronicle that on podcast.
And when's the last time you actually shopped stuff?
I it's been a long, long
decades.
Time. Then they count on it. They count on that. It's not loyalty. It's convenience. It's a pain in the ass to go out and start to get bids from other people and understand apples and apples. Have to dig through multi-page documents that come out with the premium every year. Yep, that's
right.
So if I want to put the effort in, that would even embolden me. Not embolden me, just piss me off again with this agent. What are you doing? What is your company doing for me?
Right.
And this company says they could save me X. Now, if I annoy him enough, if I say, screw you, go with them, then I don't care. I got 99 more clients.
Right. Well,
no, I don't know what he'd say. I don't think he'd say that.
Well, he'd probably come back, talk about what great service he has. You can then, you know, reflect upon him with that wonderful service you had with your accident a few years ago and how warm and fuzzy he made you feel and everything else. Right. So yeah, it could be fun. Okay. Well, you know, but I guess, you know, getting the market standpoint, yeah, if you talk to a broker friend, or if you do a couple quotes out there to get a sense of it, just to have a sense of how out of market are they? You know, are they double or triple what somebody else would be charging you, or are they in line?
You know, the way this all started, this is small business planning, doing a little planning, looking at your financials. This is planning season, and see where you can reduce costs. And I would be willing to bet that almost everybody, I'd throw out a number, no science behind it, but probably 90% of the people in a small business could save on their insurance. So it's a little bit of effort. So you should take this.
At least 10%. We'll use more numbers. It sounds better when you use numbers. So 90%, you could probably save at least 10% on your insurance bills. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Easy. So you take some junior member hired within the last year and give that person the assignment of reducing our insurance costs. Here's right. Baseline. That's what we paid in 2020. Here's 2021. Let's see what you can do. If you get $50 checks for doing nothing, that'll come in and you'll get a gold star for that just because you're sitting in the right seat.
We could buy lunch for everybody for that day.
But I'd like to, you know, see some effort, some shopping, get independent agents. Yeah, I agree. Get a good list. Become an educated consumer for your small business. And you can save money. And it's not just that, it's utilities as well, other utilities, electric, gas, water, whatever else we pay for. Those things can add up to some serious bucks. If you got somebody who's really eager, they can stand out and all of a sudden they become noticed and get a good reputation in the company.
All right.
A lot of positives to that stuff, totally neglected. Just pay the bills.
Get some creative answers. And it's good as you're going through your P&L, like you're saying, Jack, to be an educated consumer, an educated owner, right, in terms of what you're looking at. And start with some of the bigger ones. Yeah, maybe you can't get through all of them this year. But maybe if you find that insurance is one of your bigger ones, or maybe utilities are, because, you know, you got a good-sized plant. There are different ways to be able to save money, yeah, you know, to your point, and to be able to investigate those things. And so, you know, a couple of percentage points on $1 million is, you know, it's a lot of money. Right.
Sure is.
And so starting to look at those things, it's something we talk about a lot with our clients, Jack. And I know we've mentioned here on the, you know, on the show too. There's a lot of those nickels and dimes that we keep stepping over every day that, you know, add up pretty quickly to make some good profits. And so that's part of the job. It's part of why we go through the planning season every year, is review these things and see how we're doing on those different areas. Right. And what opportunities are there to be able to, you know, increase our profits. That's a big part of what we're trying to do as owners of companies. And so, but chopping those things out on a regular basis. So what we would guide you to do is not to do what Jack's doing on his personal front, which is to wait, you know, several decades before you go out and look for stuff. So if you've done that, it's almost guaranteed you can save money. They should almost give you a couple of free years, Jack, because of just my loyalty disc. Hey, we're gonna give you the next 5 years for free, just because you know we've banked all this money that you've paid us over the last, you know, four decades, and so we're gonna give you 5 years free, right? Why couldn't they do something like that? You know, what a positive thing for them, right? And also, you're talking about them in a very positive way now, all of a sudden, right? Okay, why? Because they've done something that's so unusual or so far out there, right? Or maybe there's ways to commit to them, you know, a little longer term that you can get some better rates here or there. But it's having those discussions, you know, talking to people about this kind of stuff. This is a great time to be doing those kind of things, Jack. Absolutely.
Sure is. It sure is.
So you can almost have some fun with that, Jack. Almost have some fun. You know, it's I guess like seeing your enemy in pain and kind of get, you know, brings a smile to your face a little bit sometimes, right? So it's one of those kind of things where you're taking a little bit of joy in somebody else's, because they've been inflicting pain and misery on you and so many folks for years, you know, from that standpoint. That's a good thing.
So that would be kind of fun too. It would has a lot of value for.
All right. Well, when you're ready, you let us know. We'll bring it on the show. We'll talk about it. We'll see.
I'll create the baseline and then check in every quarter.
And if you want to have some real fun, we could probably try to record the call with this guy.
That would be good.
So just so you know, Joe, I'm recording this call for my own edification so that, you know, I can, you know, do a good job here. Oh, okay. Sorry. Right. Yeah. That'd be fun.
That would be. That's a good thought. Good. Okay.
All right, we'll get that plan together. We'll bring it back up here between now. We'll see if we get done before the end of the year. If not, it'll be the early part of next year. But it's a good time to do it. Did you get your renewal prompt? Is that why? Is that what's prompting this? Your renewal notice? Okay. This will come to a head pretty quickly. That's good. Or you just stop driving, Jack. That's another option, right?
See, take Lyft, take Uber.
Right.
That's right.
That's it.
How would they charge me if I had no miles on my auto insurance?
That's right.
Somebody's going to drive through my garage door. That could happen, as we know. So
that's all right. If you're not replacing it, your car, if you aren't driving it anywhere, there's no other liabilities, right? If your garage collapses on it or whatever, yeah, it's okay. That's your.
There are a lot of alternatives if you want to inconvenience yourself from baseline today. But you could, you know, not be driving a car much. You could be using, again, Uber, carpooling, do things that are a little inconvenient.
Right.
But you could save money if that's your objective. And if they keep raising their rates the way they do, that can be significant dollars saved. Absolutely. You look around, and same with utility. We know companies. We had a past client who made quite a bit of money by adjusting utility rates and understanding those various multitude of numbers that multiply times usage. And basically, where do those come from?
It's like a broker, Jack. Yeah, exactly. The people who
they have lobbies. They have lobbies that put in regulations, put in rates that basically are going to be given to the lawmakers, and the lawmakers in turn can pad their campaign funds and be reelected. That's how it works.
Back to the politics. Very cynical tonight,
but it's the same principle as auto insurance. We'll get there. We'll have a streamlined company without hardly any expenses at all.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
The bigger the profit margin, the better, right?
We should do something on lobbyists too one of these times. We'll have some good programs here coming down the line.
Good. All right. Well, that wasn't too painful, Jack. I was worried when we were talking about doing a discussion about insurance that you might start to have convulsions and start to bleed out the ears and stuff like that. But you held up pretty well. I'm impressed. That's good. So. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this nationwide experience, and we'll see how it goes. It should be very entertaining for our audience. So,
good. Okay.
All right. So, thanks for being part of tonight's episode of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. If you missed any of our Older episodes, you can get them all on our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you have a smart device, use whatever your podcast players are, if it's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, wherever it might be. You should be able to find us all those places and subscribe to it, and it'll be delivered to your smart device every week. We usually drop our show every Thursday. It'll be put right there. You can leave a review for us. That'd be fantastic as well. If you have some comments, questions, or want to inquire with us, you can do that in a couple ways. One is by email, which is radio@maximumvp.com. Or you can give us a call, 877-849-0670. All right, Jack, that's a wrap for this week's show. It's been good to talk with everybody. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We'll be talking with you guys next week.
Okay, Adam. We'll be seeing you, bud.